I don't like all the seasons. In fact, I'm getting to the place I don't like much of any of the season except when it's in between, like fall just beginning, because I don't like the cold. And I used to like the hot. Now I don't like the cold or the hot. So there's two seasons I don't like. Guess what? Sometimes in our lives, we may go through a lot of seasons we don't like. But at least we don't have to deal with the same thing over and over again. So remember, whatever you're going through, it's a season. I'll never forget that. I can't remember what scripture he used, what he was preaching, but I always remember that everything is a season. Now, my glasses may look funny, but that's because I left it at home. This is the one that I have by the commode, and I put it on this morning while I reading, and I walked away with it on my eyes and didn't bring my actual glasses. This is just reading glasses. So first thing my wife said when she gets here, why does your glasses look like that? Then I realize, oops, that's not my glasses. But praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue in the book of Matthew. And I believe it's 13, and we go to 24. You know, I like when I first came to the States, I was kind of a perfectionist. I like things perfect. In fact, I always dream that when you walk into my house, it looked like the magazine. You ever open a magazine? You ever watch those homes on TV? In any, pretty much all those movies, they walk into that home. And when you say they go in there, everything is in place. No dust anywhere. I used to be like that. When I was in college, I roomed with George for 4 years in college. And when George made his bed and he left, I remade his bed because it wasn't perfect. We like perfect. I don't know about you, but I do. But I've changed. I could tell you that I've changed. I met my wife, and she said a house must be lived in, not perfect. And guess what? I have learned to live in a house that is made to be lived in. And I'm glad for it, because it would drive me nuts to try to keep everything perfect. In fact, I have gone way to the other side, because I'll be outside with my boots and I'll walk right in the house, straight into the house. And my wife don't like that. So maybe one day she'll come to my side of the camp. We like things perfect. But the problem with perfect is it doesn't happen. You're not going to find the perfect church. You're not going to find the perfect city. You may think you have the perfect family, but every so often you think you're not in the perfect family. Nothing is perfect. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed a good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sow weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appear also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, didn't you not sow good seed in your field? And how then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat all along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and become a tree so that the birds of the air can make nest in its branches. He told another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Father, let your word show us what we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason I say there is no perfect. Now, in the parables before, Jesus was showing seeds. And the seeds he was sowing into men's heart. You understand? We talked about that before when we were in Matthew. Jesus was the sower. He was sowing seeds. And the seeds he was sowing was to the man's heart. And it was different type of hearts that we have. And the heart that we want to have is a heart that is going to receive the seed and produce fruit. Here, we see a story, a different type. We see the sower. We see the seed, we see the field, we see the enemy, we see the servant, and we see the end of the world. So what does this all boil down to? I thought this was very interesting. We could bring it as the world. Now, when Jesus talks about it, the interpretation is going to come because the disciples ask about the interpretation. But here it is. Jesus is the sower or the planter. And Jesus is, after the seed has come into our hearts, Jesus plants us wherever he wants. I see it as the songwriter said, he gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we may be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that we may be glorified, that he may be glorified. Not we. Jesus comes, he transforms us. That's the parable that has gone in the previous chapters, and make us his, and then he plants us. So Jesus comes along and he plants us. He places us where he wants us in the world. What he talks about the field is the world. He's not just talking about the church. Now, we could bring that and apply it to the church. But here, the parable is talking about the world. The kingdom of God, he said, is like the world. Jesus comes and he plants his people in the world. The seed is the people this time. The seed is not his word in your heart, but the seed is you and me who has become children of God, who has become followers of Christ. We are now represented by that word, the seed. And what happens? Jesus comes and he places his church, he places his children, he places those that has been transformed, trees of righteousness, so that he can be glorified. And guess what happens? There is another sower that comes. And that sower is the devil. And he now comes and he puts his people among God's people. Because he knows he cannot root up, damage, destroy what God's people. So he is going to put in the midst of God's people those that is going to come to reap havoc on the church. Do y'all realize that? That's why we don't have a perfect church. That's why we don't have a perfect Centerville. That's why we don't have a perfect America. That's why you don't have a perfect family. Why? Because God comes, he transforms, he plants, but the enemy does the same. Here's the thing. Here comes the servant. You know, they didn't tell us who the servant was in the parable when it was interpreted. Jesus told them who the sower was himself. Jesus told them who the seed was, the people of God. He told them who the enemy was. but he never told them who the servant was. Now, I want to put my own interpretation. So I, listen, Jesus didn't tell us, but I just have a sneaking suspicion that that servant is you and I who are serving God. Because we have a tendency to try to weed out the weeds when it's not our job. Don't we? Now, if you're looking at the parable, it's talking about the world. Pastor Bascom sent me a video, and he sent me a video of a man that was preaching the word of God, and miracles are happening, and sometimes I look at it, it looked like witchcraft to some extent. And if I am not careful, it may be looking like a weed to me, but it could be a wheat. Wheat. I'm trying to put that H in there, but it. So here is the thing. That's why God says, leave them alone. Because sometimes when you look in the beginning stages of the two growing together, you know, you cannot distinguish which one is which. Now, I've done some weeding. How many of you have garden? Maybe a flower bed. Maybe you even have fruits or whatever you do, and they're growing up. How many of you ever went to weed? All right. I have. How many of you, while you're weeding, you pull up what you don't want to pull up? Would it be easier if we waited till they get bigger? But Jesus didn't even say wait till it gets bigger. You know what he said? Wait for the time of harvest. Because when you wait for it to be bigger, you still put in the responsibility on yourself. You still put in the responsibility, well, look, I reach with the Lord. I know what is God and what is not, and we are not there. You notice he didn't say to the servants, now he says, my angels. Did you notice that? He didn't say, now the servants will go and do the separating. You notice that? He did not say the servants. It's not our job to do the separation. That's God's and his angels' job to do the separation, because they can separate better than we can. Because guess what? Even if we wait till harvest and we do it, we'll be still rooting up some of the stuff we should be keeping. A time ago, I driving down to when I lived on Tribble Road, I'm driving and I saw where they had harvest cutting. A big tractor comes in and I thought it was amazing, the technology. And it just harvests the cutting. You know, when they were done, I see a lot of cutting left behind that's going to be destroyed. I mean, I saw a lot of cutting that would be left behind and destroyed. That's the kind of harvesters we will be if we do the harvesting. We would be destroying the wrong thing. That's why we have to leave it in the hands of God. Now, here's the difference. You will say, but how can we do discipline in the church then? How can we do discipline? There's a difference within discipline and a difference in rooting up what God has planted. Let me show you the difference in discipline. Discipline. The Bible says, if you see a brother doing what he ain't supposed to do, you go to him, you talk. That could apply to both the Christian and the non-Christian in the church. Do you all realize that? It doesn't just... Now, God is talking that it's a brother in Christ he's talking about, but because you don't know the difference, because you don't know which is a wheat and which is a weed, you have to treat them both alike. Do you realize that? Do you know when they go out to water them both, they both got watering? Jesus said that I give rain to the just and the unjust. Isn't that what he said? So when rain comes and the plant, it watering both the wheat and the weed. So when we do discipline in the church, we are disciplining both, because we do not know the difference. We do not see the heart. We do not understand what's going on. We can see actions, but only God can see the heart. So when you do discipline, you're not separating. You're disciplining their action. That's the difference. So I'm not preaching here today and telling you, let people do whatever they want because they may be a weed and we have to leave them alone. No. What I'm saying is we're still going to discipline. Because we can see what they're doing and we know it's contrary to the word of God. And we can say, look, you got to get your act together. Harvest only comes when Jesus returns. And then, he says, let both grow together until harvest. But it's, then another parable before them, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all garden plants and becomes a tree so that birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. Folks, God wants you to grow to the place where you are useful. Now, I don't know, but I never looked up a mustard seed plant. Or tree. I never did it. I did it today. I always had in my mind, when I think of a mustard tree, a big old tree. It's not a big old tree. The reason why it says in the garden is because it's really a plant. And it grows, it could grow up to about 9 feet. It doesn't necessarily have to, but it can. And the reason it says bigger than all other plants, because it is. And not all the plants in your garden, I was trying to think of any that could really take a nest in it. I couldn't come up with any. But the mustard tree or the mustard plant, a bird can go put its nest because it's strong enough and it would not fall out. I thought about that for a minute. And what comes to mind is you may start, when you begin your journey with Christ, you are like a mustard seed. But if today you are still a mustard seed, you are not being useful to the kingdom of God. Some of us, the Bible says, we cannot be fruitful unless we go into the ground and what? Die. That mustard seed, even though it's small, it still had to go through the process of death. And only through the process of death that brings forth a mustard tree. And when it becomes a tree, it becomes useful. The birds can come. No other... I've never seen, I grew some tomato plants this year. I got a few tomatoes. I didn't put any Miracle Grow. That was my mistake. But I got a few tomatoes. My daughter told me they taste very well. So I know they taste good. And but you know, I didn't see any birds making a nest in the tomato plant. They were making no, I don't understand that. No nest at all in that tomato plant. I don't know why. You know, I've never seen a nest in a cabbage. You ever see a nest in a cabbage? Why? It's not going to support it. We have to get to the place in Christ. When you are a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, the only way he can be glorified is that you become useful. You know, I think about the mustard seed. You know, it also talks about how the faith, like a mustard seed, can speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to go into the sea and it will obey. how much you need to be useful for the Lord. Not much. Some of us think, I got to wait until. I know people, I can't do it because. I can't. My faith isn't big. I don't have faith like. Those things are not something of God's way. God says that if you have faith like a mustard seed. Today I'm watching a little video of a mustard seed. It's a yellow. It starts off at a little green bud and not really much, no really anything. That's we start off and then it turns into like a yellow bud and then it dries up. And after it dries up, it have all these little tiny seeds and they throw it in their hand and it look like close to like dust. And any wind could just come and blow it away. And they tried to get one, but they couldn't even pick up one. Every time he tried, he got more than one because it was so small. Today, you may feel like your faith that you have is so small. You may feel like your faith is so insignificant. But if you would let that faith be activated, you can become a tree where it can be useful for the Lord, that you can bring glory to God, and you can use that kind of faith to do what God calls you to do. God's purpose for his people is to grow and become useful. We're going to be out here early today because Ed ended early. I blame it on Ed. He told them another parable. The kingdom of God is like a leaven that a woman took and hid 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, do you know the Bible used leaven as a bad thing all over the place? But here, he says the kingdom of God is like, you know what that tells me? We should be affecting lives. When last have you affected a life? When last have you brought somebody into the kingdom of God? When last have you shared your faith? When last you are letting yourself rub off on somebody and not somebody rub off on you? What it's saying is when you are useful, when you allow God to use you, when God has transformed you and he places you in a place, why you are there is that you are going to be the thing that affects people around you. It is sad to say that most of the time it goes the opposite way. It's time that we realize that we need to be what God calls us to be. Sometimes we have to realize that it's not about us, it's about what God has done. You know, it sounds so simple, it sounds so easy. But for some reason, we don't get it. God comes. He plants the word in your heart. And it took hold. You were a good heart, a heart that would take the word. Then he plants you where he wants you. And in the midst where you are, guess what? You're going to have trouble because the enemy is going to put a weed right next to you. You're going to have problems because the enemy is going to put somebody there to tell you you're no good. You're going to have struggles because the children is not going to like you. You're going to have all kind of friends in school fool tell you you're no good, because the enemy will always come and plant something there. It's up to you if you're going to be 11th instead of you allowing them to transform you. You should be the contagious one. And you don't need much. Do you know how much yeast they put to make bread? Do they put more yeast than flour? No, they don't. Why do we feel like for us to have an effect, for us to have a change in power, we have to have thousands of people, or we have to have 50 people, or we have to have 5 friends that are all... Why do we believe that we have to have so many? When Jesus said, just a mustard seed, just a little bit of yeast. We have to change the way we think. And when we change the way we think, we will start to affect people, and people are not going to affect us. Because even though you're going through troubles with people, remember that God planted you there. The enemy also planted them there. Your responsibility is to rub off on them. Thank you, Jesus. So what are you going to do about what you heard this morning? I remember a guy named Gideon, I believe. God comes to him and God says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "What are you talking about? My family is the least. And in my family, I am the least. I don't understand what you're talking about." Some of you may feel like that this morning. You may feel like, look, my family don't get it. I don't have what it takes. And here's a guy that right there, and God has planted him there. And God comes to him and called him what he is. He says, "Mighty man of valor." And he couldn't accept that. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you're a mighty person of God. And God wants to use you for his kingdom. And where you are is exactly where he planted you. And I would encourage you to grow to the place where you are useful in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry to say this morning, there's a lot of people, or because we don't know who is a wheat and who is a weed, we have to talk to everybody the same. If you are not useful for the kingdom of God, something is wrong. Get useful. God didn't save you, set you aside, and plant you just to be there and be an ornament. He placed you there so you can bring to his name glory and honor and praise. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you, Lord God, because we realize that you don't have to work with much, because if you just, that grain of mustard seed faith that you put in us can accomplish the task. And Father, we realize that the kingdom of God, which we are part of, we should be affecting our world. So, Father, we ask this morning that you would help us to transform those that are planted by the enemy. Help that, Lord God, as we grow in your grace and your love and your power, that we can do what you call us to do. Father, we love your word. And we want your word in our hearts. We want your word to transform us. We want your word, oh God, to move in us. So that, Lord, we don't stay as a seed, but we would die and grow in Christ. And get to the place where we are useful for the kingdom of God. Father, this morning, we look at our circumstances and we say, thank you for planting us where you plant us. We look at the things that are going around us right now, Lord God, and we say, thank you, Lord God, that they're going around us. But Lord God, we pray that you would give us the grace that is sufficient, that the end result would be praise and honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you for your word. May we walk in grace. And may we understand that nowhere is perfect. And nothing is going to be perfect until the harvest time, when you send your angels to do the harvesting and you separate the ones that are in Christ and the one that are outside of Christ. May we all today be in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You all go and be blessed.